We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
Cyrus USA.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Haley Network's Pass through K through 12 radio show. And I'm excited about our guest. And, you know, when you talk about learning about the safety guidelines in schools and how the security and safety guidelines in schools, you really look at specifically enough how important it is for the security team, the parents, anyone involved in the school district to understand what's the best way to protect our kids, and through certain things like natural disasters to horrible, horrific active shooter, we learn from that process through these guidelines. And I'm excited to welcome the program from PASS, Guy Grace. Guy, how are you? Thanks for calling again, and excited about, you know, we continue this in 2020 to have these conversations. How are you, Guy?
I'm doing good. Thank you for having me today.
You've educated me so much in this first year, and we were talking about specific topics for 2020's radio show, and I'm like blown away. I'm like, all right, this is just a great learning experience. This is what's so great about PASS, is the ability to have these experts come on that have been in this industry forever to explain to you how to keep kids safe. And that's the most important thing, isn't it, Guy?
Yes, sir. Our children are our most precious asset and our future of our country.
The topic today is response and recovery from active threat scenarios. Explain that to me. I mean, could it go into like active shooter, or is it much more?
Well, when I look at an active threat incident, you know, I've been in school safety for 30 years and I've responded to many kinds of emergencies and situations. And when I look at it, you know, we look at every day a school district faces a lot of security challenges that are multifaceted and complex, and we must be prepared for to address a full range of situations that pose a risk to our staff and our students and our community. And when we look at this, it could be anything from weather, it could be a hazardous material spill, or it could be an active threat incident such as an active shooter incident. And when you have these things, an active threat incident is probably the one we read about most in the news. You know, an active threat is any situation that presents an immediate danger to the school occupants. And it's huge because when you look at it, because it's our most vulnerable population is our children. And so that's why you see a lot of news centered around the schools and around these emergencies that may arise. So we have a responsibility in school safety to obviously to prevent school violence, and but also to prevent and help mitigate through other types of emergencies. Basically, the all hazards response is very important for us in school safety to implement in our school districts.
And that's so key. And I agree with you completely when you talk about specifically enough, when you're in this kind of danger, you really have to have a plan in place. Because if you don't have a plan, what are you going to do? Because there are people in the building that are in danger. And this is what we're talking about. And how do we quickly inform everyone in the community, especially fire, EMS, police, to what's currently happening in this building in a very quick response that saves many people's lives, hopefully, or keep them in from danger, especially when this situation happens?
Well, when you look at that, I think one of the most important places for us to start in school safety is from our superintendent on down to designate staff and processes and procedures, but those staff to be responsible All staff are responsible for school safety. And we also need to empower our staff and our students to be able to respond in day-to-day emergencies. It's all about disaster preparedness. And it's not, we're not trying to be scary in today's K through 12. We're not trying to scare the bejesus out of everybody that's working in schools. But, you know, I look at it, you know, being in as a director for the last 30 years is empowering our staff and our students with basic emergency preparedness skills that will allow them to address a school-based emergency, but something where off campus where they're more likely to come across an emergency, such as a first aid emergency or a stranger danger, things like that. You know, we look at schools have been hardened quite a bit since the Columbine tragedy, since 20 years ago. But we're looking now, what we're looking at is I look at it as myself as a teacher now, too. I have to empower staff and students in addition to my staff having to empower staff and students. So, for example, one of those really good programs is the Red Cross and working with the Red Cross and taking them up on their empowering myself and others to be Red Cross trainers. We train over 1,000 people a year on Red Cross and certify them on first aid and CPR. And it amazes me how many of those, you know, a lot of times they're not using that first aid in the schools because we're not having these emergencies, but you'll be surprised how many kids or staff members have had to save their spouse or their grandparents or a loved one with first aid protocols. And when I look at things like when we do active shooter training, things like that, we're giving them skills that if something was to arise off campus nowadays, that we can empower them to be able to respond to those incidents as well.
See,
so I think the biggest place to start,
right,
empowering, putting processes and procedures in to empower people.
So it's almost like how you started your security team. Now you got to empower the people on your team to do more, to not just be doing stuff that's happening in the school, of just making sure you have the right measurements in place, but the proper training, the proper preparedness, all those things need to be in place from CPR, as you talked about, to other things before being able to mitigate lost lives or danger of the students.
Exactly, sir. When we look at this is when we empower people with first aid, we're empowering them to take action if an emergency arises in the school, but we're also empowering them to take action if an emergency happens off the school grounds. But another key point is empowering staff and students to communicate when there is a potential for violence or other disturbing activities that may threaten themselves or others. And I think that's a critical component that we're starting to see in school safety quite recently with, for example, the Safe to Tell system in Colorado or text to tips that you see in other school districts. And it's not about being a tattletale. It's about getting ahead and empowering students and staff to say, tell others that can help before this becomes a tragedy. And this is not just about school violence. It's also about self-harm. We look at school and school safety. Probably one of the big things that we and saddest issues we're responding is the teen suicide epidemic.
Yes.
And self-harm. That is huge for us, and we need to empower people and have them to have an understanding of how to detect that, maybe how to help their friends when they are feeling down, and basically, you know, and report to people to get help for them. It's not about getting the police over there to arrest somebody. It's about getting there before there is a terrible tragedy. And I think that's something that we're starting to see, and it's working, and it's having a tremendous impact on a positive culture in our schools.
So you're basically talking about not just the safety of the kids in the building, but outside of the building in this process. So if you know of somebody who's suicidal, you have the proper team in place at the school to handle that situation, and that they don't harm others or themselves once they enter the school grounds, from monitoring social media to specific tips that people give you, that there's a problem or a phone call, you're ready to respond quickly. Because you could have a situation where someone's suicidal and then they decide, I'm not just suicidal for myself, as we talked about in Columbine or certain places, I'm going to go in and take some other lives as well.
That's correct. You have hit that right on what the deal is. What we're trying to do now is it's all about getting ahead of this. Because you know when we look at Columbine, or we look at the Arapahoe shooting, or we look at all these Parkland, and we look everywhere where there's been tragedies, there's always been something telegraphed to others. People knew that person needed help or needed some kind of intervention, and it's all about now, hey, maybe we can get intervention, some help to that as a school shooting. And what I am very encouraged by, in my district, for example, we get about roughly 700 calls a year on self-harm after hours.
Oh, goodness.
And about kids that are in need and things like that. And we're talking about, 16,000 students. But we have, some of the same students are repeating this. But what we're trying to do, what we're doing is we have to be available 24/7 to basically have a way to intervene when that person may be calling out for help. But we need to empower others to alert others to those situations as well. And maybe a lot of times, too, empower kids to communicate with their friends and ensure that their friend is going to be safe and be there the next day to go to school. It's kind of a – were we doing that 30 years ago?
No.
Heck no, we weren't. But we have certainly evolved into this where we have to have good security systems. We have to have good mental health processes and procedures, and we have to have good emergency preparedness processes and procedures.
I mean, Guy, when you talk about, you said specifically enough, suicide is worse than active school shootings. It's because it's happening far more than the number of shootings per year. The lost lives of suicide or people that are hurting themselves is at an alarming rate. Why is it in such an alarming rate now compared to 30 years ago? Or is it not identified? Or are you seeing in research just more and more kids are depressed and are going through these things more quickly than when I grew up or you grew up?
Well, it's a hard one to analyze. Sometimes the thoughts for us as older people is maybe that, and I kind of believe this, is kids have lost that connection, so to say. Everything now is through a device of some kind, an iPhone, a tablet, an Android, or something. And when they're getting this information through those devices, oftentimes, that's how their primary means of communication is. But also, too, a lot of what they see and hear on these devices is not really real. And I think about when I was a youngster 100-some years ago, we connected with people. And we might have had what would be called a smaller group of friends, but they were really truly friends. And what I mean by that is we had FaceTime with them. We thought and we talked and we learned from each other, whether that was good or bad. But we had connections. And I think what has happened now is it's such a broader and it's more complicated for our young students that is so broad and complicated because they have so much to do with. It's all about, social media and all the things that they are doing on every given day. And it's somewhat, sadly, an illusion. And I think that's part of the problem. Another one is this peer pressure, social pressure. You have that can come from the social media aspect. But there is another thing is a tremendous, tremendous demand for students to succeed in all aspects in life nowadays. And I think the pressure is immense on these young people. And I mean, it goes from the homework, the things they have to do after hours, and, the thought, do I measure up? Do I? We didn't
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
wonder which came first.
Cyber Station USA.
Cyber Station USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. Cyber Station USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Have them. We had violence. We had things, but the way things are now, it's just so expounded by the fact that we have this social media communication ways that we got going on now.
And you brought up all those things, and it's really sad to look at that. But that's why we have to have these secure things in place, because a lot of times when kids commit suicide, there's cries for help that we don't respond to, even if they might be just a cry for help and literally they're not considering suicide, or they're cutting and that you found this out and maybe they weren't. It's great we reported it. It's great we showed that we care at the school environment, for the school counselor, through security, through anyone, to make sure that they're safe, because self-injurious behavior is such a huge thing now. I know it's far more than it was when we grew up, that's for sure, and that that's just become a way of masking pain, that if we don't respond to that now, or we hear a kid is depressed 6 months down the road, if they didn't get help, it's too late.
That's it. Exactly. And what you could also look at is, you know, there is data that's out there that says that sometimes suicidal behavior can lead to homicidal behavior. And that's something that we need to be cognitive of, is this in school safety, is the ability for us to be aware, our ability to empower others to report and to intervene when we need to. It's not about being big brother, so to say. I think it's what our biggest thing is, to be on top of this and to save. And it's basically mitigating through life, and hopefully we can get our students to a good place for the future and a bright future. And it's just, you know, that's what we are as educators. We're not trying to take away anything from the parents. In fact, there's a lot more. What I see as really encouraging is parents are stepping up to learn more. And I'm one of those guys who, you know, I'm older and I thought I was social media savvy, but having a, you know, kid, young teens on cell phones and things like that, it's impossible for us to keep up with what they're doing. So what school districts do now is, you'll see a lot of us are helping parents, putting up cyber parent awareness nights and things like that. So, and bringing back the discussion between the parents and the students, so we can get to more of an understanding and basically get a higher academic performance with less tragedies in our community.
See, I did all these talks before, and now I'm seeing it firsthand more and more, and I'm like, wow. I hope I helped some people with the talks that I've done on dangers of social media. I've done two talks before on that and a radio interview, but I still have not done enough after I've seen what's happening. But the problem is that, and we're talking about this on the past show, because of the reason, again, we're with Guy Grace, because we keep bringing up, everybody brings up active shooter, a shooting, a stabbing, some sort of violence. And this is the one that's happening far more. And you talked about, there's a lot more. If we talk about kids that are injuring themselves or getting injured or suicide, it's much higher than the number of gun deaths a year, correct?
That's correct. Well, here in Colorado, and again, I could be a little bit incorrect on that. On the Front Range, we have a suicide epidemic. And the last time I looked at the stats, and I apologize to any listeners if I'm a little bit off my stats, but the suicide rate, national suicide rate, is about 1 out of 13,000 teenage students would probably are likely to commit suicide. So here for us, that rate's about twice or three times than that average. So we're having 3 out of 13,000 students. But think about that. That's a, you know, if you're a school district of 16,000 students, you're going to have two or three suicides a year, and that's going to impact your culture in your community. And so any kind of death of a young person is a tragedy. But, you know, so when I look at this, being the chairman of the Partner Alliance for Safer Schools, it is so important for us to implement our security technologies, our emergency preparedness, and our mental health practices and policies and procedures, and unify all of them together to address these multifaceted threats and concerns in our school communities. Because if we don't do that, we're going to have terrible academic performance. We're going to have I look at this, all these things we're doing, we help keep society going for the now and for the future. And I think that that's important as an educator, as somebody that's worked in this for a long time, that we all need to realize that it's a multi-hazard situation. And I look at what we dealt with building a security operations center. Sure, we're monitoring cameras, security alarms, analytics, all kinds of good things in here, good technologies in place. But it's also, too, those dispatchers that are in that security operations center are also working on top of our administrators and our law enforcement and our mental health professionals to help mitigate through those other threats and get through them and stop them from happening. I can tell you there's been a couple times where, you know, and I won't say any names or anything, where we've intervened in the middle of the night at 2 o'clock in the morning, working with law enforcement, getting those cops over to the houses. And we literally have a kid hanging on a rope that one of their friends said that person was suicidal. Police department cuts that kid down. But the fact was that security operations center that's doing all the technology and doing all that, but working with law enforcement, we were able to save that kid's life. That kid's alive today because of that.
You're far ahead of a lot of school districts in this area. I would say that we're getting much better at preparing schools for an active shooter, but we're not with mental health. And you should be commended that you have a security team like you do to make sure that you are able to stop these things before happening. And the school cares enough about their kids when they go home from school. All the districts are there yet, Guy. And so hopefully through PASS, you can get more and more districts to see the importance of caring about the kids, not just when they're in the building.
I think that you're seeing that, you know, talking to your, through your radio show and your listeners and other protectioners across this country, and we're seeing other security directors, we all have that awareness now. And I think that if we do that, you know, I'm a pretty conservative person on that, so I'm not a big brother type of person, but what I believe in, we all can help keep our communities and our kids safe. And you're starting to see that across the country. People are starting to realize that and putting this together, that again, we can do not just the old days of physical security, watching the cameras and things. You can empower your security operations centers in your school districts to help keep that community safe. And that's what we're in PASS, what we're encouraging to happen if you can do it. But there's so many things, if you don't have that, there's still so many other things that you can do.
All right. Best place we can find information on the PASS is go where?
Thank you.
Now, where's the best place, Guy, we can find info on the PASS? It's Google PASS K-12, but also the website, correct?
Yes, sir. And we're going to have, what's really important is that if you're a school district across the country and they need some help on putting in a good security system, we start with the basics, and work up with the tiers and applying what we call the tiers from the basics all the way to the advanced security technology components, policies, and procedures. And I think it's very important to do that, because we even talk about what we talked about in this show right now about how we would mitigate through threats. But we talk about that in our recommendations and our guidelines. And it's about holistically applying this process to your school district. I believe, truly believe, you know, I've been doing it for the last 30 years, that you can make a tremendous impact and a positive impact on your community. I feel really good about my school district. You know, my school district, you know, we've had our tragedies and things, and we recover. You're always recovering from things, but I feel pretty good, because I feel like good safety in a school district is also in line with good academic performance and a positive climate and culture.
All right, again, check out passk-12.org. Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Right. Yes, sir.
I was making sure.
Yeah, for sure. Any community member that wants to help their school district, anybody can download those recommendations. They're non-proprietary. What I mean by that is we're not telling you any brands or things you have to buy. What we're just doing is putting out some common sense guidelines, does not cost anything, recommendations for you to, you know, take it to your school board, take it to your school security director, whatever that you could do, it will help your school district. And I'm so proud to be involved with the other individuals in PASS, and I'm really proud to be here on this show today, and I thank you, Neil.
All right, well, I appreciate you calling, and it's great to have the PASS K-12 radio show here on the Neil Haley Network, and I appreciate you calling, Guy.
Thank you, sir. You have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye. You're listening to the PASS K-12 show, and we'll talk next week. Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Neil Haley Network's Dr. Christopher Hall Show. And I'm excited to welcome to the program Dr. Christopher Hall. Dr. Hall, how are you? Last week, oh my gosh, were you blown away by Ryan Leaf's story? I mean, because I know you didn't get to see the ESPN 30 for 30, and you might have known about his struggles, but it was pretty deep, wasn't it?
Wow. I mean, it was such an inspiring story, again, from someone who fell from grace, but again, had the strength to pull things together. And so it's a lesson for everyone. It's great.
And again, lesson for young people. And this is what leads to our topic today. When I heard about these ladies in this very, very interesting children's book, I said, you know what? This is a topic that we all need to discuss. So go ahead and introduce our guests.
No problem. Well, you know what? It's my pleasure to introduce Dr. Kate Anderson Foley, PhD, a person who has 30 years of experience in special education and social justice, and also to introduce Jennifer Anderson Smith, her cousin, who has her very own unique life experiences and has actually raised a number of biracial children, and now noted authors. So, again, welcome to the show, ladies.
Well, thank you for having us, Chris.
Absolutely. So I'm going to jump right now to Dr. Kate. First question involving why write this book? And then I'm sure that the answer that Jennifer will have will be almost close to the same. And then Dr. Hall kind of ask other questions. But why did you write the book, especially as a busy teacher? Teachers don't and administrators don't have the time or effort to really do a project like this. And you're a very busy person. So why did you write the book?
So thank you for that question. I've been in administration for almost 30 years, and with large districts and state boards of education. And I shifted into private practice a couple years ago. Hence, I had a little bit more time to write something that was very important from what my lived experiences were, both personally and professionally. I'll speak a little bit on the professional side. My role was to always advocate and protect the rights of children who in school districts, communities historically been marginalized. So disability, different cultures and religions, different orientation, race, homelessness, et cetera. And as the years went by, and I'd say the last few years, there was an outcry And what I saw children struggling with was not making sense of what was going on the adult world. And because of that, I'm like, if not now, when? And so I called my cousin Jennifer, and I started to share a little bit, and she goes, I'm in. And so we started writing this book based on our experiences, but really based on what was going on out in the world. And we wanted to put together, an empowering book, an engaging and inviting.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. Stitcher.
Stitcher.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archived CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
Stitcher.
CyberStation USA.
Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide. Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
Book, but really be responsive to what was going on socially and emotionally and kind of tackle some of those tough topics that people shy away from.
And they definitely do shy away from them. So, Dr. Hall, what is your question for our ladies on the show today?
Well, this is a revolutionary book, and both of these very strong women are trailblazers. And so I had really a question. I guess I could start asking Jennifer, I guess. What's the inspiration behind the book or her getting involved with her cousin in writing the book? Any childhood experiences or any type of role model she had as a child that kind of made you say, hey, I need to get involved with this? I mean, obviously your life experiences, but anything else?
Well, I've been involved in activism for a number of years. And the things that I was involved with directly related to the experiences that Ida faces in this week that we write about. And we do have lived experiences, either by friends or, things that we experience with our family. So when my cousin called me, it was a no-brainer. It's like, I'd love to. I'm right there with you. And we had a blast doing it the whole time.
Dr. Kate, when you decided to be involved in this, it's part of your job as an administrator to make sure that there are people like Ida finding their voice in your schools, right? That's the key component that you want this book to get out to more than just the people's lives you touched as an administrator.
Yeah, and there were many teachers throughout my career and principals and family members and community members saying, wow, we got to really talk about this, but how do we start going about it? And when do we start to introduce these topics? And again, based on, you know, my experience and also, you know, my personal experience when I was a child, based on my life circumstance, it manifested in learning disabilities. There was nothing wrong with me per se. So I share that example because sometimes we see just what's on the face, be it color, religion, someone's wearing a headscarf or whatever it is, a disability. But when you start to get to know somebody and really get to know them, that's the person and that's the humanity that we're trying to really juxtapose around what Ida is experiencing throughout her week. Because she's a kind and loving girl. And all of a sudden her mind's kind of rocked going, wait a minute, what's going on? Ouch. You know, that hurts. Why would somebody say something about my friend? You know, it's right. That kind of thing that kids always wrestle with.
Being different is still not accepted to the level that we want it to be accepted as people like ourselves. I'm Dr. Kate, a former teacher, an educational advocate still. I own a tutoring consulting company. That's one of my hats I wear. I wear multiple hats, but I understand fighting for the people that don't
have...
Well,
we should get together.
Oh, yes, we are going to. You reach out to me and we'll talk. I live in Pittsburgh, by the way.
Okay.
What I was going to say is that I fight for the problem that the kids that don't have a voice. And I... will stand up for those people. And when I hear this, it just makes me so mad. Mm-hmm. I hate when we hear somebody, someone has a learning disability. Let's write them off. If somebody is different, a different color of skin or different religion or different gender, well, you know, forget it. Write them off. You know, if they have different sexuality, they're done. They're finished. No, that's not what we need. We need to become more accepting. And Dr. Hall, that's the thing that we bring to the show is we've heard about so many people, trailblazers, but they've had to battle through these challenges, Dr. Hall, of being labeled that they can't be successful, being told they can't do well. And yet they strove to do it. But we need to continue to fight for people, Dr. Hall, that are like Ida, that need to find their voice.
Very, very true, and I think Dr. Kate sees and what Jennifer sees, they see that these very early struggles that our young people go through, you know, when we have such a dynamic society, you know, a certain social and cultural, but when we come into the educational ring, we want everyone to be on the playing field, and when we have these experiences, we know later in life that those experiences can either scar people for life or create things later on in life that, you know, kids don't understand. And this book is obviously going to go a long way to make those changes. And so that's great.
Absolutely. Now,
thank you.
Now, Jennifer, what did you learn from writing the book from Kate?
Sure.
See, this is a great question I wanted to jump to is, Jennifer, what did you learn from Kate writing the book? Especially, she's been in education. You bring a different background. How did you guys mesh as writers?
Well, it was really fun. So things that are close to her heart, you know, she kind of led the way. Things that were close to my heart, you know, I led the way. And through a lot of laughter and, you know, like, hey, are we including everybody? You know, like we just kind of asked questions of ourselves and make sure that we got things right. But it was more of, you know, what we gravitated towards, you know, what was, you know, what we were dealing with or what we are dealing with on a day-to-day basis.
If I can add, sure. We tried to be true to the voice of who the character were, who was dealing with a certain issue, be it transgender or different color or different culture. We tried to be true to that person's voice, that character's voice.
Absolutely. All right, Dr. Hall, what next question you have for our guests?
Sure. I guess, you know, this next question, I guess, would be for Dr. Kate or Jennifer. But this name Ida, where does that come from, the name Ida? Why was that chosen?
So when we were Yeah, that's a great question. So when we were creating Ida, I always had a picture of Ida in my head without a name. And as Jennifer and I were bringing her to life, we wanted to have a strong person, a strong female, and an American hero. Well, Ida B. Wells was that person. And she was an African-American journalist and newspaper publisher, abolitionist, feminist. She led so much, and she stood up for discrimination and advocated for people's rights. And we thought, wow, what better way to honor Ida B. Wells than to name our character after her? And so her name is Ida. Very proud of that.
I had a feeling that was. I just wanted to find that out, and that's a great question that Dr. Hall asked.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Jennifer. Why a children's book? You really want to kind of bring that together, but you could have written a different type of book as well, not just a children's book.
Well, I'm 54, and my generation, we have difficulty talking about race. We have difficulty talking about disabilities, a number of different subjects. And I would like it. My wish is that the generation coming up, it's not going to be as difficult for them. So if we start young, we start letting people know, okay, we're different, but it's okay to be different. We learn to have empathy and to be tolerant of people. That is my wish. So I think we start young so that by the time they're our age, we'll be able to have conversations and not argue about it and not have fear or hate, and that we can have honest and productive conversations.
Well, that's a definitely a great, great point to think about. All right, Dr. Hall, what's your next question?
Okay, so my next question actually would be directed towards Jennifer. And, what I'd like to know is, can you think of any particular experiences, Jennifer, you having raised biracial children, that you thought was particularly awkward, or that you said, hey, I need to write this book because of that situation that occurred with one of my children?
Yeah, there's a number of things that I could talk about, but my one child, when he was in sixth grade, first week of school, was in the high math class, and the teacher called me and suggested that he shouldn't be in it. And I was a little disturbed that after the first week, that they thought that my child wasn't smart enough to be in that class. I thought that was a little suspect. So you do learn that you have to fight. Every parent has to fight for their kid, but I thought that was a little unjust, particularly the first week of school when you don't really get to know somebody that quickly. But he was where he was supposed to be, and it bothered me. I think I was a little more aware that the teachers may have some biases against my children. Right.
And I believe, Dr. Kate, you have a lot of stories of when you taught kiddos in special education and then as an administrator where special education students were taken advantage of in some sort of way, funding-wise or even specifically community-wise or even in the classroom.
For sure. As far as disability is concerned, there's some that are visible and some that are invisible. And the visible ones, they're almost a little bit easier because people can see, she or he uses a wheelchair or uses a cane or braces, et cetera. Sometimes the invisible ones that manifest themselves in, a particular learning disability, those are the ones that I think are more dangerous. And I say that because people will lower expectations for children. Because they can't. I think Dr. Chris mentioned that. Well, or you, Neil, that they're going to write them off.
Yep.
What happens. And so my role and responsibility was to challenge the adult. So why can't they be in that classroom? Or so how can you get that material to them so then they can demonstrate what they know? So it's never a dead-end road for me, but we as adults have to challenge ourselves and sometimes look in the mirror and say, ooh, I got a bias about, you know, this group or, you know, that group of kids or whatever it might be. We all have biases, but our responsibility is to identify them and override them for the benefit of children.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dr. Hall, again, like I said, this is such a great book to have discussions in the classroom about, Dr. Hall, and to teach young people when we talk about the older generations, how they're not accepting, how the younger generations can become more and more accepting of different people. One of the funniest things, I don't think I'm really that funny, but really surprising in how when I grew up versus now is the amount of different people in schools and different challenges, but also different from globally. And we are running into these problems globally as well, where we're looking at students globally and we're writing them off or telling them they're supposed to be a specific thing. We have to be accepting of everyone, and looking at our culture and how politically our political climate is right now, we have to find leaders that are going to be accepting of everyone, regardless.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple. Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA, always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.
If you're what your political outlook is or whatever, we need to be united as a country, Dr. Hall. Correct?
Very true. Yeah, and yeah. I'd like to say that.
Yeah, okay,
I think that it would also let's not count on our government. Let's just do it, you know, town by town, person to person. You know, if the government can't do it, let's us do it ourselves. So I'd like to, you know, move things along.
We have to move things along because.
And I'd like to add, Neil.
Yeah. Yes, go ahead, sir. Go. Mm-hmm.
I was going to add to your comment, you know, and in schools are a microcosm of community and they reflect what's going on in the community. So, to your and Jennifer's point, we need to, you know, tackle it with starting right on the ground level. And we need to give voice and we need to help kids and families. And there's a particular note to parents in this book. Just how do you start a conversation and how do you, so if you don't know all the answers, okay, that's fair. So how can we find out together? but we want to be able to use that voice for good, right?
Exactly.
If we don't, that's the ripple effect of this book. Mm-hmm.
And if you really take the role as being a former educator or educator, if you're not in this business to help kids and to form a community, then you shouldn't be in this business. Because it's not, it's definitely not about the paycheck, but it's definitely
wholeheartedly
about
agree.
Transforming lives to end up having a doctor
right.
like Dr. Christopher Hall on, or an administrator like yourself, Kate, or anyone to be a success mm-hmm. in life. It's through education. And we have to figure out something to fix this. But I think we need to just fix it now. We're not going to wait on our government to do it. Let's do it now. And I love what Dr. Kate just said. All right, Dr. Hall, kind of summarize what we've learned today.
Well, again, I mean, and we've had shows actually last year, Neil, where we, again, had this great example of our wonderful, strong women who were trailblazers, who were taking a stance. We said, look, we're going to take a stance. And you know, again, Dr. Kate's been doing this for 30 years, and we're going to make things better. And again, even if, you know, the government, if they can't do it. And so I think that's kind of what we're seeing. You know, we're seeing strong women who have said, hey, no, this has to start with children at a young age. We have to see from their point of view the situation that they're in, these awkward situations that can affect them throughout their lives, affect our communities, okay, and affect our important institutions, really, like what? Like the military, which was very multicultural, which, again, you know, I served as a captain and a doctor in the military. Mm-hmm. And so you work with different mm-hmm. types of people, and we need this training for our young people to deal with very difficult situations, very difficult questions. And so, again, I'm very, very, very thankful that our guests came on today. I'm very impressed with them. So thank you very much, Dr. Kate and Jennifer.
Well, thank you so much.
Last thing, you can
find the book at.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
You can find the book at IdaFindsHerVoice.com or at Amazon.
And last thing, Dr. Kate, are you going to be doing some a book tour? Are you going to be any certain places to read the book? Are you reading it at schools? What is on your calendar regarding book promotion?
Yep. So we've got a couple things. Jennifer and I are reaching out to schools. We've reached out to libraries. I'll be doing a book reading at Loganberry Books in Cleveland, Shaker Heights, actually.
Oh, we're
Ohio,
not that far. We're not that far
March
from each
29th.
Other.
Yeah. In, mm-hmm.
Oh, I didn't know you're in Cleveland.
Yeah, we can definitely get together.
Oh, absolutely. Okay, so so that's great.
Yeah.
And any way we can help to get the book out there more is fantastic. And so you're in Shaker Heights for a reading, but anything else? Are you touring anywhere else? Are you staying more locally?
We want to be more national, so we're trying to get there. Your being on your radio show will help, I hope, tremendously. We just believe that staying silent isn't the answer, and that we want to add our voices to the narrative. So any help would be greatly appreciated.
We'll definitely do it. And again, you as a special education teacher, as I'm a former special education teacher, I just see just this power, and that we have a voice, especially on the radio and podcasting,
yes.
whatever, that we need to speak out. Regardless of people that disagree with us, we have to keep going. So, guys, I appreciate you guys coming on, and take care.
Thank you so much.
Take care, guys.
Thank you.
All right, see ya. Okay. All right, bye-bye, guys.
Okay,
that was the Dr. Christopher Hall Show, everybody. We're back to the Neil Haley Show in the Total Celebrity segment. I'm excited to welcome the program. Bob Harper of The Biggest Loser. I can't believe it's back. I'm so excited.
Yeah, The Biggest Loser is back. I mean, we were on for 17 seasons, and now we've done this whole reboot, highlight the aftercare that when it's time for our contestants to go home, that they have all the tools that they'll be able to use when it's time for them to go back into the real world. We're not going to focus on temptations or those, like, vote-offs. Nothing like that. It's really going to be story driven, which I'm really excited about. It's going to, you're going to really hear about the struggles that brought our contestants to the show in the first place. And I think people are going to get real inspired by it.
I definitely think so, for sure, as well, because again, people love stories, right, Bob? and especially stories of difficulty and challenges, and then they were able to overcome them.
Yeah, I think that when you see someone that struggles and you relate to whatever it is they're struggling, and then you see them achieve and put themselves first and are able to, you know, make the kind of changes that hopefully will stick. I mean, it will get people thinking about themselves and what they really want to do with their lives.
And Bob, things change in your life, right? You think you're going a certain track and everything is derailed. And the challenge you went through with your heart issue really made you change some of the things you were doing, right? And that's a great way to teach the other contestants that you never know when that something will happen and you have to be prepared.
Yeah, you know, we live in a lifetime in a world that you just never know what's going to happen. And so, like, what I really try to do, and I learned this especially because of what happened to me, is that I've been given a second chance. I'm going to just, like, spread kindness, spread love, and also appreciate every single day that I'm here, because we don't know how long we have on this earth. And so, just trying to help people as much as we possibly can. That's what it's all about, and that's why I'm so proud to be working back on The Biggest Loser.
Well, I'm excited it's back because it really has inspired so many people for so many years, and especially about people that were watching, not just the people that were contestants, but the people that were inspired by The Biggest Loser to make a change in their lives and to get in shape. And you really transformed a huge society of people that, you know what, I too can do this. And your motivation and the trainer's motivation has really helped many people. And I'm sure people are excited about, again, these new contestants and to see their stories.
Well, thank you for saying that, because I've been in this business for a very long time and I love what I do and I take it very seriously. And for you to say that, just has made my day. So I really appreciate that.
Oh, you're welcome. I mean, and I just, Bob, when I think of different trainers, celebrity trainers, you're just that one guy. When you would literally cry and to help that person and really say, I'm going to work you so hard because I really want to see you make that change, because you know what can happen if they don't get better.
Yeah.
If they don't get better, for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, you know, my job is to see the potential in you before you're able to see it. And I've always been able to do that.
Absolutely. And you have new trainers. So tell us a little about the new trainers. They're going to be on The Biggest Loser.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have two new trainers. Erica Lugo, she's a woman that lost 160 pounds on her own. She has kept it off for 5 years. She has devoted her whole life to health and wellness. I can't speak highly enough of her. I absolutely love her. And then we have Steve Cook, who is this Captain America trainer. This man is, he will give to our contestants such discipline and such focus that is needed, especially starting out on a journey like this.
And it's great. And then all of you together, and people need to definitely tune in tonight. I can't believe it. And I'm so glad it came back, Bob. I think that everyone missed it. There's so many people out there that need that inspiration. And to add these different components and have your creative help in making this show as good as it always has been is fantastic. You're back.
Well, thank you. It's going to be a good season.
All right, so tune in tonight, 9 p.m. Eastern, to the USA Network, to The Biggest Loser. And I appreciate you calling, Bob, and thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks for having me.
All right, take care. Bye-bye. You're listening to Neil Haley's show, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Rob Roselli Show. And I'm excited to welcome the program conspiracist and author Rob Roselli. Rob, how are you? We have Box of Sunglasses pulled up right now, boxofsunglasses.com. But today we're going to go into two particulars. But people, this is the resource that people need to go to and check out to basically find out their information on the end of the world as we know it. And it just keeps getting worse and worse each and every day, right?
Pretty much, you know, as we kind of dovetail off last week, I guess, but basically, I mean, the people in the world are going increasingly insane. You can just see it from the headlines. I mean, if you just look at our so-called political leaders, I mean, these schmucks and these lowlifes in Congress and going after Trump. And I'm not, again, I say it again and again, I'm not deifying Trump, okay? But there's something much bigger going on here. And just look at the way these people babble and carry on and basically blatantly lie to the nation and the world without even a hiccup. And they are going. They're fundamentally insane. They're babbling. The people underneath them, the nation as a whole, you can just see it worldwide. It's really starting to happen. And again, it all goes back to what we talked about last week and a little bit. And my second favorite John Carpenter movie, In the Mouth of Madness, because I think that's just, as a society, that's where we're headed. And no surprise when you look at who's running the joint, as we've mentioned. It goes by many names, and we talked about him last week, and pleased to meet you. But anyway, I guess that's the panoramic of what's happening right now.
We have before us the opportunity to forge a new world order.
There is a man behind the curtain. This isn't the Wizard of Oz. The shakeup to the music business machine.
That sounds fun!
This is a far more deadly predator than anyone ever imagined.
Perfectly designed.
I wonder which came first.
CyberStation USA.
CyberStation USA is the future of radio. Get your business into the online future at the world's largest internet radio station. From banner placement on our homepage to any of our broadcaster stages, commercials on our video player, audio spots on any of our shows, or at the beginning of any of our on-demand broadcasts. CyberStation USA offers competitive rates with a worldwide reach, a fully integrated one-stop shop social media broadcast platform. For more information, please contact our sales department at cameo@cyberstationusa.com.
Cameo Entertainment Group and CyberStation USA are now part of Stitcher, a free radio app for your smartphone. With Stitcher, you can listen to live programming as well as archive radio programming right on your phone. To obtain Stitcher, just go to the App Store for your particular phone. Go to search, then type in Stitcher. That's Stitcher. S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
Then download. It's that simple.
Stitcher,
a free radio app for your smartphone. Convenient access to live and archive CyberStation USA programming on your mobile phone. That's Stitcher.
S-T-I-T-C-H-E-R.
CyberStation USA. Always on the go.
Every so often you have technology come along that rewrite the rules of the game.
Digital culture isn't characterized by the home computer.
You speak instantly to a man standing on the shore of France.
The CyberStation, the USA, the .com.
Worldwide.
Everything has changed.
A new age.
The biggest ride in all of history.
This is CyberStationUSA.com.
Worldwide.
This is the future.
The future.
Radio.
The future.
The future of radio.
And that really is the message.